we really do want to get to our first guest. We're very excited she's here because she truly breaks down and brings us a nonpartisan. She is a nonpartisan voice in this healthcare. This healthcare bill that we're all trying to understand and quite equate what it means for us. Her name is Laura Zaremba. She is a senior principal at Trexon Consulting. And Laura, we are so happy you're here. I know you don't pick sides in this, and this is yours just to understand the policy and explain it to people who you consult with. I think the biggest question, the broadest question, I think to start out with is, how does this impact people here in Illinois and neighboring states?
It impacts really all of us, and I think it impacts people to a different degree depending upon where you get your coverage. And so I think in trying to parse out the impacts of yesterday's vote and what that might mean as the measure goes forward is those provisions that directly affect people, and they might indirectly affect you, depending, again, upon how you get your coverage. So, for example, if you get your coverage on the individual market, if you buy your insurance through the health insurance exchange, you're absolutely impacted by this bill. If you're covered by Medicaid, you're directly impacted by this bill. Now, it doesn't directly take on employer-sponsored coverage. But
I want to ask about that, That's an area where I think a lot of people hear this and say, oh, that's only for the Obamacare people. This really doesn't impact me. But there are indirect and direct applications of this bill that will definitely impact people, even if you're on an employer health insurance plan.
Right. And these are the provisions that are a little difficult to figure out because it's a complex web of how insurance is regulated and how people access it, how they pay for it. But really what the bill does is try to drive more decision-making to the states. And I think a lot of people know that insurance is regulated on a state-by-state basis by insurance commissioners. And so there are some new provisions in the bill that passed yesterday that would really allow states to apply for waivers to change essential health benefits. And that's a new development, and that is something that could eventually impact people even if they have employer-sponsored coverage.
Yeah, and speaking about developments, Laura, you know, yesterday the vote eked passed in the House by basically one vote, so it was pretty close. So this still has to get through the Senate, which I think, to your point, before this comes into law and so forth and then gets signed by the president. But are there other changes potentially, too, in the Senate that this bill could face that may change the face of it as it is today?
There's a lot of expectation that there will be. There are a lot of Medicaid changes in this bill as well.
When you say changes, do you just mean cuts? Is there any other way to read this other than Medicaid cuts?
They're cuts. There's no other way to read it. The intention is to spend less money over time on Medicaid. And that's a big concern in the Senate. 32 states did expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, which means that people are in those 32 states are now covered who were formerly ineligible, but they're covered even if they don't have children, they're single, up to 138% of the federal poverty level. And so, for example, in Illinois, that means about 650,000 more people have coverage under Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And
as part of the expansion you're talking
that's
about.
That's correct. And so what this bill proposes to do is after 2020, ramp that down and grandfather in the people who are already covered, but anyone who would after that time, who would be eligible under that category, the eligibility would go away, and the federal government would no longer match Medicaid for that particular population.
So states would have the opportunity to opt out. That is a central piece of this, essentially. And tell us what that means. Does that mean that small businesses could also, in that state, opt out of providing health care for their employees and say, no, go on the exchanges? Is that something that could happen?
Well, so that's a big development too, is individual and small group plans. This bill basically gets rid of the individual mandate, and that's a huge impact on the individual and small group market. And so what that means is that there's no tax penalty anymore, and that is really going to impact individuals and small businesses' take up of health insurance.
Yeah, I mean, that takes away money. And that's the thing too. See, this is the tough thing, and I'm trying not to be partisan here, but gosh, you know, the ACA was I don't want to use a Trump word and say disaster, but it worked out tough for people. I mean, I know a lot of folks, including myself, who use things like Land of Lincoln, for example, on the healthcare exchange that went bankrupt. And, you know, unfortunately with the ACA, with the Keep Your Doctor, that's the Affordable Care Act, with Keep Your Doctor, Keep Your Plan, all that stuff that was said by President Obama that didn't happen. But now these promises by Trump with the AHCA, just throwing an H in there now, it still have, to me, Laura, kind of the same mistrusts to it in the sense of, well, your deductibles are going to go down. Your premiums are going to go down. You're going to have better care, more options for care. I just don't see how you're going to bring more people in and say and care for more people and take care of all the things that everybody has health-wise and say to everybody else, yeah, you know what? It's going to cost you less. I just don't buy it. It just doesn't seem feasible.
Do you buy it, Laura?
I think you're going to hear a lot more of that now that the bill has passed the House, and there is going to be, I think, a lot more scrutiny on exactly what you're talking about as it heads into the Senate. Because, for example, hospitals, physician groups across the country, a lot of insurance companies are really not seeing it add up either. That's why they didn't support the bill, and they still have very serious concerns about the overall impact.
Laura, I want to ask you about what changes you think will happen in the Senate, and that there are expected to be quite a few, and what this will eventually look like before it has a chance of becoming law. But we want to take a break right here, and we want to check the WGN traffic trouble spots with Violetta Padromatic.
Abreu, Mikado, two sluggers swing for the fences Saturday night, folks. White Sox, Orioles, Saturday at 6, only on WGN-TV.
Check it out. Back here live on the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVellantis, Scotty Markets. Scotty Martin is sitting in with us today, and our guest is Laura Zaremba, who's talking healthcare, what it means for you, what we've learned, what we've been able to glean from this bill and all the details inside of it. And just before we hit the break there, Laura, we were talking about the Senate. It's now in the hands of the Senate. We've heard from Senate Republican leadership that we will write our own bill, and it feels as if there will be some changes here.
Sounds exciting,
doesn't it?
Write our own bill.
Our own bill. Ah. And the CBO score will be out by then. Any idea of what we can expect?
There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on, again, what the numbers are with respect to how many people are anticipated to still retain coverage under this proposal. The original CBO score put it at, you know, 20 to 24 million additional people losing coverage. If that holds true, the Senate's going to take a very hard look, I think, at, you know, moving the numbers back in the other direction.
To get more people covered.
Yes. Yeah. Because when you think about it, I mean, just the simple math of it, there are only 100 senators, and all the focus is going to be on how they're going to vote. They're going to be hearing from their constituents the same way that the House members were back in March when this was proposed. And they're going to hear from a lot of people who are very scared about what this is going to mean for their coverage. And those people on the individual market, those people with pre-existing conditions, and those people who are covered by Medicaid.
Talk about that, because that is the one question I heard asked over and over and over again, whether it was to Sarah Huckabee, who was filling in for Sean Spicer today, or Republican congressmen and women who voted for it. They kept asking, will people with pre-existing conditions pay more? And there didn't seem to be a straight answer to that question.
That's right, because no one knows. And the reason that they don't know is because, unlike what happens now, you either get employer-sponsored coverage or you can buy marketplace insurance, and if you qualify, you get cost subsidies and in some cases cost sharing. So it really manages the cost for people with pre-existing conditions who have chronic conditions, so a lot of healthcare spend. What this bill does is really, again, it takes away the individual mandate. States are allowed to apply for a waiver so that they can change essential benefits. And instead of if people are unable to access coverage from the individual market or the small group market, states can set up high-risk pools.
Yeah.
And so they have this large pool of money that's available for high-risk pools, which is something that did exist in a lot of states prior to the Affordable Care Act. But it's very expensive to operate a high-risk pool. And so in terms of what that would mean for people who are likely to fall into that category if they lose their individual insurance, I think we're going to find out a lot more over the coming weeks as people analyze state by state what that might mean.
Well, see, and that risk pool is the dirty little secret in this bill. Again, there's secrets in here, folks. I hate to say it, because that's the issue. It, you know, one of the comments, again, I think about the diction as far as how this has been told to the American people, and it just feels like there's a lot of just mistruths here, because another thing that was said was, we're not paying ransom to the insurance companies. Okay, that's doggy poo. Okay, that's a technical term, by the way.
And that's
nicely put it. Yeah. Because, you know, the interesting thing is, those risk pools, Laura, is exactly what you mentioned. Those risk pools are very expensive. And in the bill, they're affording another $8 billion for those risk pools, which puts the number way above $100 billion of money that they're going to have to pay these healthcare companies to take those sick people. Because let's face it, the sad part is the insurance companies don't want to insure sick people. They want healthy people that don't go to the hospital or the doctor very much between, say, their 20s and 30s. And nobody wants to tell anybody that. Mm-hmm. And that money, guess who pays for that money? The taxpayer.
Taxpayers does. And you saw the Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle say that this could be $500 million for our county hospital system.
That's
because
right.
of that. So there will be a definite impact there.
No question about it. Impact on...
Absorbed by others.
Yes. Impact on state budgets, impact on county budgets, and ultimately state and federal taxpayers.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have Congressman Peter Roskam on later. He voted for it. We're going to ask him why. And I know a lot of Republicans did feel like they had campaigned on repeal and replace. They felt there was a better answer than what was already there, that Obamacare had its own problems as well. And so they sometimes felt, in some cases, and we'll ask Congressman about this, they felt as if this was the best of two bad or two okay options, or maybe in some cases they really believe this is a great option, I'm sure. But in general, has your office been able to comb through the details and sort of assess whether or not there are some very positive parts of this particular bill, that things that you like? That will be good. When I say you like, I mean good for people who need health care.
Unfortunately, despite, I think, genuine desire on the part of some of the drafters to really come up with a way to fix some of the shortcomings of the Affordable Care Act. And I think, you know, there's been a broad acknowledgement that the Affordable Care Act had major challenges in the individual market and in controlling costs, really overall controlling healthcare costs, right? I mean, bringing the cost of healthcare down to make it affordable. Those were yet unfulfilled promises. But unfortunately, this bill doesn't really, I think, address either of those. It really doesn't fix the individual market, and it doesn't really do much in the way of controlling costs over time. And I think, you know, the last time I was here, we talked about some of the things that over the long term are going to bring down the cost of healthcare, and it's things like keeping people healthy. Mm-hmm. It's funding things like prevention and wellness. And one of the strategies of getting people into coverage, being covered by healthcare, health insurance, whether it's on the private market or through Medicare or Medicaid, is that if you have a condition, you address it before it gets worse, mm-hmm. i.e. more expensive. And that's a real concern with the number of people who may lose coverage, even temporarily, because ultimately when they come back to a healthcare system, they're going to be less healthy and it's going to cost more to make them well.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it begs the question if we're stepping our way or fumbling our way towards single payer, which basically means the government just takes over the whole thing. Because at some point, can the private market solve this by itself? And I hate to think about single payer because you hear about the UK, you hear about Canada. But the reality is that healthcare is such a variable product and space that it's sometimes hard to get everything taken care of if you mix this private public.
We saw the president today praising the Australian system, which is very much like that, a single payer universal health care. And then Bernie Sanders quick to jump in and say, that's what we need. Thank you, Mr. President.
Free everything, according to Bernie
Sanders.
Doesn't seem
as that is not being proposed just yet. But Laura, we hope you'll come back again and again as we learn more about this and what the Senate is doing as well to break down the details for us.
I will look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for being here. This is Laura Zaremba. Trexan Consulting is the firm she's with, and we appreciate her making the time for WGN and our listeners. We are going to be back in 2 minutes with Judy's News, so stay by.